tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. My name is Rob, and if I haven't had a chance to meet you, I'd love to meet you after the service. I'll be hanging out in the lobby. If you're new or if you're even a regular tender and you haven't checked out the app YouVersion, we'd love to encourage you to do that. This is a way for you to get a little bit more out of what you're about to experience. There is an events page on YouVersion that allows you to dig a little bit deeper, take some notes. There's a poll in there. There's also information to remind you about this month's Make a Difference, which is the way that our church goes into the community and tries to make a difference for Jesus. And so there's a reminder in there because the deadline is coming up next Sunday. So there's a whole bunch of good stuff in there. And YouVersion is the app that I use to read the Bible every single day. And I do devotions through YouVersion, so I encourage you to check it out during the week as well. But if you want to follow along during this talk, you can follow the steps up there on the screen and get YouVersion. I want to point out one thing before we start to dive in. In your seat, there is a little card. And if you could just locate that card, it says Family Blueprint on it. It's a little tiny index card that says Family Blueprint. If you could just locate that card. This card is representing an upcoming series that we're going to kick off on September 11th. And the reason we want to give you these cards early is because we really believe that this is a great series for you to invite friends and family to. I am convinced that if our culture is falling apart, the reason is because the family is falling apart. And if we want to change the world, we've got to affect families. And so one thing that we all have in common, whether you are a single, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're married again, whether you have kids or your kids have grown up, the one thing that we all have in common is family. And so we're going to spend 4 weeks talking about family and God's plan for the family. And we want to make sure that you have access to invite cards. And so that is a card which is in your seat. And if you would just spend the next couple weeks praying about who God might want you to invite to come to be a part of this series. There might be a friend, a neighbor, someone you work with that you could just say, hey, I don't know why, but God's put it on my heart to invite you to come check out this series. And you can hand that card to them and give them the information. That starts on September 11th. I would love to pray for us, and then we'll dive in for our talk today. If you could, just close your eyes and let us pray. God, we're so honored to be here today, and I just ask right now that in your powerful name that you would speak to our hearts. I ask, God, that you would just remove the distractions from this room. I ask you to remove the distractions from our minds. God, it's so easy to come in here with baggage. It's so easy to come in here being tired and not even excited and just kind of going through the motions. And we just ask, God, that you would speak loudly and clearly to us. Help us to be open to hear your voice. And God, I ask that you give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. Thank you so much for how you're going to speak. And I just ask, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're concluding our series entitled Uncertainty. And if you've been on vacation for the last few weeks, or maybe this is your first time visiting us at Next Level, I want to catch you up to speed. The truth of the matter is that every single human being is going to go through seasons of uncertainty. When we don't know how to get to the next point, it causes all sorts of anxiety and fear and nervousness. And when we are in control, we don't really need God that much because we can handle it on our own. But it is in times of uncertainty that we really can rely on God. And what we said in this series is that when you go through a season of uncertainty, and let me just say this real quick. If you are not currently in a season of uncertainty, I need to make sure that you guys know that this is a series to take notes on. Because if you're not currently in a season of uncertainty, you will be soon. At some point, something's going to happen where it's just going to rock your world, little country girl, and you're just going to wonder what in the world is going on. And this is when you can reference back to those notes. And so what we've talked about in this series is that there are two things you can trust during times of uncertainty. And number one is God is good. Then in times of uncertainty, you can trust that God is good. It may not feel it. You may not be getting the answer as quickly as you want. You may not hear exactly what you want to hear, but you can trust that God is good. And the second thing that we've talked about is that God is love. It's in his very essence. It's who he is. And so even when God says you have to wait on something, even when it seems like God is silent, what we can trust is that God is love. It's just who he is. In fact, we understand and know what love is because that is who God is. Well, our text for today was written by a guy by the name of Paul. And if you grew up in the church, there's no doubt that you know who Paul is. But if you're new to the church scene, you may not understand the significance of Paul. Paul was a guy that persecuted the early church and was against Christianity. But then he met Jesus in a vision, and he became a Christian, and he went from persecuting the church to leading this new movement called Christianity. And he is very important to us because he is the one that took the message of Jesus and started spreading it around on these missionary journeys and started telling people around the world about Christianity and about Jesus. Now, the reason Paul can speak into uncertainty is because he is a guy who dealt with a lot of uncertainty in his life. If you're not familiar with Paul, Paul went through a season where he was arrested for being a Christian. And while he was arrested, he was sent off on a ship, and that ship was shipwrecked. And he crash lands on an island, and oftentimes he had no idea where he was going to get his next meal. Oftentimes he had no idea where he was going to sleep. He dealt with uncertainty often. And he constantly was just asking, God, what is my next step? Where do you want me to go? And sometimes God would lead him to a place that he knew was going to cause him some even personal pain and personal injury. There was a time where God said, I need to send you to Jerusalem. And he says, okay, if you want me to go, I'm going to go. And so Paul ends up sitting in a Roman prison, and eventually he is killed for his faith. And so when Paul talks about difficult circumstances, he's a guy that has some authority. He went through it. He's not someone that lived a cushy life and can't relate to difficult circumstances. So with that in mind, let's look at what Paul says to some of the first Christians in Rome, in the church in Rome, Romans 5, starting at verse 3. Paul writes, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Okay, let's stop there just for a second. This is preposterous. Like, we don't need to get to the rest of the verse. Just know that Paul is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, who in the world rejoices in suffering? Like, that doesn't even make sense. No one in this room says, I went through a really difficult phase of my life. Yay! It was the happiest of times. When they broke up with me, I was so happy. When they fired me, that was the best thing ever. I got cancer. Woo! Like, no one celebrates. No one rejoices in suffering. Now, we need to talk about suffering for just a second, because often in America, we have a different view of suffering than I think what Paul had and what even I think the rest of the world has. For us, our suffering is often just a kind of mild hiccup in life. And we, and I'm saying we, as Americans, have become incredibly soft. Some of the times, the things that we call suffering are things like you dropped your iPhone and the case broke. Like, and it's like, oh, my glass shattered. I'm suffering. Why, God? Or I'll hear people say that they're suffering, they're struggling because one of their three cars had a flat tire. God, why would you let this happen to me? I hear people say that they're suffering because they're struggling at their job, a job that pays them pretty well and gives them money and health benefits, and it may not be the best job ever. But oftentimes in America, what we call suffering, the rest of the world would call a vacation. And I am a part of this. So often what rocks my world is just, it's not even that bad of a day, but I become so dramatic. This summer, it is the third summer in a row at our house, and our house, our AC unit, has a very difficult time keeping up with the heat outside. And on those days when the weatherman says heat advisory, our house becomes hot. Like, I'm talking really hot, like 76 degrees. Yeah, and you know what we did when it happened this summer? We went and lived with my parents because it was so hot. And it was like, why, God, why are you allowing us to do this? And you may laugh at this, you may say that I'm soft, but every summer when I watch the news on a heat advisory day, people in our area die because it's hot outside. And I just think, how soft have we become? Like, how in the world did the human race survive before AC? And let's just take a moment to just thank the inventor of AC. His name is Willis Carrier, and he is an incredible human being. And I just want us to have a moment of silence and show respect for Willis Carrier. Willis Carrier, I'm not Catholic at all, but I vote that he becomes a saint in the church. Like, think about it. If the AC went out in here, our church, our attendance would just drop. You guys, it doesn't matter what you like about this church. You would find another church. It's just so hot at Next Level. You wouldn't come. Thank God for William Carrier. I think about, though, how soft we've become as human beings. And so often today, what we consider to be suffering is really just a blip on the radar. But today, no matter if you actually haven't gone through real suffering, if your suffering is just more like first world problems, or if your suffering has been something real like what Paul was going through, no matter where you're at in the scale, Paul says that we can rejoice in our suffering. And so for you, your suffering, it's real to you. Even if it's a first world problem, even if it's not that big of a deal, it's real to you. And Paul says, even in that moment, you can rejoice in your suffering. Now, the word in is incredibly important to this, because if Paul said that you rejoice for your suffering, he would be a masochist. A masochist is someone who enjoys being in pain or putting other people through pain. It's clinically diagnosed. It's a psychological issue. And Paul does not say that you are thankful for suffering. Suffering stinks. It doesn't matter if it's a cracked iPhone case or if it's because someone's picking on you or because you have an illness or because a relationship went wrong. It doesn't matter what degree of suffering or struggling you're going through. Suffering stinks. And Paul says that you can. There is a way that you can rejoice in, not for your suffering, but in your suffering. That in the midst of going through a difficult circumstance, you can actually have joy. And Paul then unravels how we can do that. Let's look at the verse again. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. I want to break down this verse because I think that the wording that he uses is so incredible. Paul says the secret, the way that you can rejoice in your suffering, is to stop focusing so much on your current suffering and start looking ahead at something better. That your suffering, it stinks right now. It's a difficult circumstance. And don't let anyone tell you that it's not difficult. It's difficult to you. Even if it's a first world problem, it's difficult. You can embrace, this is hard. This is hard for me to go through. But instead of focusing on the suffering at hand, you got to look ahead. And what does Paul say look ahead at? He says, knowing that suffering produces endurance. We live in an incredibly hard and difficult world. Every human being you know is going to die at some point. Everybody. We live in a time of economic uncertainty. We live in a country where we have a little bit of political uncertainty. There is uncertainty all around us, but we can rejoice in that if we stop focusing on our problems and stop saying, woe is me, this is so bad, and we got to look ahead. Because what we can trust is that if we make it to the other side of the suffering, we will develop endurance. And endurance produces character. Character is such an important word. Character is who you are when no one is looking. Character is grit. Character is toughness. Character is loving Jesus even when it seems like he's not there. And who are you when no one else is looking? Character is holding on to God even in the midst of incredible difficulty. And the only way we get to that other side is we have to grow. We have to go through the difficulty. And when we go through the difficulty, it says, Paul says that we develop endurance. And I am convinced that those that are addicted to negativity, those that are negative all the time, those that find a way to be negative about everything, you know what I'm talking about? Don't point to them if you're married to them. Just keep your fingers to yourself. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, all of us go negative sometimes. We're all, like, we're just broken humans, so we all go negative sometimes. And there's some of you who you were born seeing the glass as being a little bit half empty, and some of you are more optimists, and you see it as half full. But I'm not talking about someone that's a pessimist. I'm talking about someone that is just negative, and we all know someone that's like that. They're just everything, or a downer about everything. And I'm convinced that anyone that is a negative all the time, that is just a downer about things, I am convinced they are one of the most immature people living. Well, I think what happens, this is just my theory on it, I think that what has happened is at some point in this person's life, they had a traumatic experience happen to them. And most likely it was with one of their parents. Maybe someone physically abused them or verbally abused them, or they had a really bad day. And at some point, that pain was so real to them that they have been stunted in their growth. And instead of growing and saying, you know what, that was bad, but I made it through the other side and now I'm a better person, they've just said, I want to avoid pain altogether. Because that hurts so bad, I don't ever want to go through anything difficult anymore. So this person lives in basically bubble wrap and makes sure that they never go through any difficult circumstances. And anytime anything even remotely looks difficult, they start saying, oh no, here we go again. The world is against me. Everybody hates me. Now, that is a sign of immaturity. You can actually grow through a difficult circumstance. You can get on the other side of it, but you got to stop focusing on your problems and how bad you have it and start seeing that on the other side of it, God can do something great. He can use your difficult circumstance to develop you and to make you better. And Paul says that we know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. I love the quote by Pastor Sam Chan. He says, in the crucible of chaos, God forms our character, creates new culture, and determines our destiny. Even if you're not a really negative person, I can bet that because you're an American, you love to play it safe. Like my family, before we go on vacation, we always pray for our trips. And the prayer is often, God, would you give us a safe trip? Which that's a great prayer. Like, I want us to be safe. Like, I believe in safety. I lock the doors to my house. I lock the doors to my car. Like, I believe in safety. But I think for us Americans, we're so afraid of any type of conflict that we've become addicted to safety. If you read through all the prayers in the Bible, not once did any of the great men and women of God say, God, would you just make us safe? In fact, I'm not sure that God even honors that prayer. Because if you read through Scripture, you'll see that over and over again that when someone falls in love with God, he doesn't make them safe, he makes them dangerous. That when someone falls in love with God, he sends them on adventures that we still talk about today. We love safety, we love routines, we love monotony. But guess what? The stories that you tell are the stories of unpredictability. The stories that you love to talk about over and over again are not, hey, you know what we did for 3 nights in a row? We caught up on all our shows on Netflix. No one tells that story. Right? When you're sitting around, you talk about adventures that you didn't see coming. And like, we had this plan, but then we went a different way. And you'll never guess the ending to this. And the things that get you excited are the conflict. It is the uncertainty. It's the difficult circumstances. When you come on the other side, that becomes the legends that we tell. But we've become so afraid of anything uncertain, anything scary, that we just play it safe. I'll just keep with my safe job and keep with my safe choices. And I don't want to get rejected, so I'm not going to walk out and do anything daring. Because I'm so afraid it might hurt me. Well, Paul says, listen, even in the midst of suffering, no matter what type of suffering is, you can rejoice. But you got to keep your eyes on something bigger than your suffering. It's on the other side of suffering. On the other side of suffering, you can actually experience endurance. You can get through better on the other side. I love the quote by Pastor Rick Warren. He says, what's the purpose of your problems and difficulty? God wants you to learn something. Every storm is a school. Every trial is a teacher. Every experience is an education. Every difficulty is for your development. How different would your problems be if you viewed it as just a part of your education? Instead of saying, woe is me, this is so hard, this is so difficult. God, where are you? I don't know what to do. I don't know the next step. Have you left me? Where am I supposed to go? God, this is so hard. What if we just said, okay, God, this is an adventure. Here we go. Giddy up. I don't know the next step. I don't know where I'm going to go. This is difficult. I'm a little bit scared. But I know that no matter what I go through, you're going to use it to develop my character. You're going to use it to teach me something. And ultimately, you're going to use it to make me more like you. If you're not familiar with the Bible, there's a great chance that you've never discovered how risky and how scary the lives of those that love God really was. And I want to just give you a quick synopsis, a history. I want to cover thousands of years of guys, of men and women who simply fell in love with God. And when they did, God took them on an adventure. The founder of the Jewish faith, of the Israelites, is a guy by the name of Abraham. And Abraham is old as dirt. He is so old, he should be a great-grandpa. And at the height of his age, at a really old place in his life, God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. You talk about uncertainty. I'm 38 years old. I never want to have another baby in our family, ever. I can't imagine getting to 80 and my wife saying, hey, honey, we're pregnant. No. Thank you. And then God tells him to go to a land that he's never even seen before. You talk about uncertainty, but we still talk about Abraham, even though he's been dead for thousands of years, because God took him on some adventures. We talk about David. He's a primetime player in the Bible. King David won a lot of battles, and he's famous. In fact, even people who don't go to church know the story of David versus Goliath. The amazing thing about David is that he was a young boy. Some scholars believe that he was only 12 years old when he was picked to become the king of Israel. You talk about uncertainty. Talk about having your life turned upside down. Think about yourself at 12 years old. When I was 12, my stress, my problems were getting through algebra class. It was like, dear God, why? Why are you putting me through this? Math is so confusing. And I know that the Bible says you're a God that is not a God of confusion. So you didn't invent math. The devil did. So why am I being put through this? Can you imagine how uncertain you would be if the trajectory of your life, if you were a shepherd thinking that you were going to just grow up and do the family business, and all of a sudden you're told you're now the king of a mighty nation? Uncertainty. Jesus was the Messiah of the world, and everyone thought that he was going to be a ruling king, a king who kicked Rome out off the throne and overtook the power, and the Israelites were going to become this mighty group of people again. Think about how uncertain it must have been if you were one of Jesus' disciples. If you've never done this, I would encourage you to do this. Read yourself into the story. Imagine if you were one of Jesus' 12 disciples and you thought that he was going to be a ruler, he was going to rule with the sword, and he was going to take over, and all of a sudden they arrest him and they kill him. You talk about uncertainty. The thing is, though, is that Jesus didn't remain dead. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And what that tells us is that if you're a Christian, you can actually have hope in the midst of uncertainty, because no matter what the book says, your story's not over yet. No matter what's in front of you, I don't care if the doctor said you have cancer. I don't care if they've said you're fired. I don't care if she said I'm leaving and I'm never coming back. It's not the end of the story. That Christians have hope. Because we have a God who raises the dead. And you get to a guy like Paul, who's sitting in a Roman prison and knows that he's probably going to die simply for believing in God. And yet, what does he say about his suffering? Rejoice. How in the world can Paul do that? Well, Paul can do that because he knows that the end of his story is not the end of his story. That even if they take his life, for the Christian, we have an afterlife. We believe there's a heaven. We believe there's an eternity. We believe that there's more than just this world that we go through. So every circumstance that you face is an opportunity for you to learn and to grow and to become more like God. I want us to go back into our text, because I think Paul says some incredible things that will encourage us. Paul says that we have this hope that does not put us to shame, because God's love... If we're going back to the verse, Romans 5, 3 through 5. He says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Ultimately, the reason we're able to endure uncertainty and endure difficult circumstances is because God's love has been poured into us. And I want to talk about this love just for a second. Because one of the reasons why we can have hope in the midst of uncertainty is because God is love. But let's just talk about what God's love is like. Some of you have forgotten how dangerous love makes you. I want to speak just for a second. If you've been married for 15, 20 plus years, there's a great chance that you've forgotten about the dangerous love that first took you when you saw your husband or your wife. Do you remember those feelings when you first got in that relationship, that first time you saw her? Do you remember that excitement and that passion? And you were just like, man, I just want to spend every waking moment with her. And do you remember when you first talked to him and you just want to know everything about him and you were so excited and you were like, I hope he calls. I just want to talk to him on the phone for hours. And today you're like, I just wish he would shut up. But back then you were like, oh, I just want to hear his voice. I want to talk to him. And what does love make you do? Love makes you dangerous. Don't you take risks when you're first in love? Man, I don't know if she's going to say yes, but I just have to know if she'll go out with me. I might get rejected, but I don't care. She's so beautiful. I've got to ask her out. Man, I'm so nervous. I want to ask her to marry me, but what if she says no? I don't care. I'm going to take a risk because I'd rather her say no than just wonder if she loves me the way that I love her. Love, it makes you dangerous. It makes you take risks. And yet the more time that we're in a relationship, the more casual we become with love. And I think for far too many Christians, we are living a boring, dull life because we think that we serve a safe God. And our biggest prayers are, God, would you just make this trip safe? God, would you just protect us? God, I don't ever want anything bad to happen to me, so would you just keep everything bad away? But what did Paul say? Paul says that we have this love of God, a love that when it comes in you, it's like this crazy love that causes you to do just ridiculous things and things that you would never do on your own. And you think about when you first fell in love with someone, if you're married, and the first time you fell in love with them, just how crazy those emotions were. That's what God does when he takes over our hearts. He causes us and leads us to do things that we would never do on our own. You should go plant a church. I'm not equipped to plant a church. What are you talking about? All right, you tell me to plant a church, I'm going to go plant a church. God tells you to quit your job. That sounds crazy. I shouldn't quit my job. God tells you to quit, you quit your job. God tells you to go share your faith with someone that you've never met before. That's ridiculous. I'm so embarrassed. I don't even know everything about the Bible. God says it, you do it. Why? Because there's this love inside of you that causes you to do crazy things. And sometimes you're nervous and sometimes you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out. And I'm so scared, but I'm so in love. I just got to do it. I got to take this step. If God tells me to do it, I've just got to walk. I've got to go towards him. And some of us have lost that passion and excitement for our relationship with God. One of the things that separates Christianity from all other religions is that other religions are all about how you get to God. And in order to get to God, you've got to obey. You've got to follow these rules. You've got to dress a certain way. You've got to learn certain prayers. You've got to learn certain things in order to get to God. And Christianity is not about how we get to God. It's about how God came to us. In a fierce, passionate love, God came to us. And it's not about our performance or how good we are. It's about allowing him to love us. And when we allow this love to come into our hearts, it changes us and it makes us dangerous. It causes us to take risks that we would never take on our own. I want to read the verse one last time because I think the end is very crucial for us understanding how to rejoice in moments of uncertainty and suffering. He says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, the Holy Spirit, depending on your upbringing, is something that you may not be that familiar with. If you grew up in more of a charismatic world, then you love the Holy Spirit. You're all about the Holy Spirit. You're like BFFs. But if you grew up Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist, then the Holy Spirit is kind of the part of God that we don't really talk about that often. And the Holy Spirit is incredibly important, and I love that Paul attaches the Holy Spirit into this because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us power to do dangerous things for God. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to fall recklessly in love with him. Now, if you're not familiar with the Holy Spirit, it's very clear through Scripture that the Holy Spirit is God. And this is a little bit confusing because all throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, God makes it really clear that there's only one God. In fact, the reason that the Israelites get in trouble over and over again is because they keep worshiping other gods. And God keeps saying, there's only one God. So when Jesus comes onto the scene, Jesus comes out and says, hey guys, I'm also God. And they crucified him because they're like, no, we know there's only one God. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And as Jesus was leaving, he said, guys, I know you're sad that I'm leaving, but I'm giving someone even better. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and he's also God. So for Christians, the way that we try to explain this is that we say that we have one God with three separate persons. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is important because the Holy Spirit is the power inside of us. And I want to show you what the Holy Spirit has done since the very beginning of creation. A lot of people think the Holy Spirit came onto the scene after Jesus left, but the Holy Spirit is God, so he's always been here since the very beginning. In fact, one of the very first scriptures that talk about the creation account, it comes from Genesis, which is the very first book of our Bible. Genesis 1, starting in verse 2, it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In the very beginning of creation, there was darkness. There was chaos. There was uncertainty. And it didn't say that the Holy Spirit caused the uncertainty. It says that the Holy Spirit hovered over the uncertainty. And what does that say to you and I? Well, that says that if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, He's not scared about what you're scared about. And you might feel uncertain, but you know what? The Holy Spirit is hovering over your uncertainty. You might be uncertain about your faith and say, God, I'm barely holding on. I don't even know if I can still believe. Life has been so difficult. Where are you at? Can you just take me through this? Can you just help me? Can you just speak? And guess what? God's not afraid of that. His Spirit is hovering over your uncertainty. You might be in relational uncertainty in a difficult circumstance and say, God, this is so hard. I've never been in this difficult of a relationship. Everything I do is wrong. I just want to get out of it. And God, would you just help me? And listen, God's not afraid of your relational uncertainty. His presence is hovering over the chaos. If we focus on God in the midst of our chaos, He will bring us through the other side. And when we go through the other side, we will have endurance and character. Paul, from the very beginning, was singing Kelly Clarkson songs before Kelly Clarkson. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's so true in life. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And for the Christian, we can hold on to, even in the midst of a very difficult circumstance, God's presence is here. He hasn't run. He hasn't left you. His presence is hovering over your uncertainties, hovering over your fear. He's hovering over your suffering. And when we focus on God in the midst of suffering, He literally can change us and make us better. And when we get to the other side, you know what we see? We see that our problems back there weren't that big to begin with. We just didn't have the maturity to go through them. And then we get some new problems and we say, you know what? I can deal with these problems because I know I dealt with those. But you got to be willing to grow and mature. And if you just stunt your growth and just say, life is hard, I can't get through this, you're never going to mature and get to the other side. God is a God that doesn't want you just to play it safe. He's a God that wants you to be dangerous. I love the story from Pastor Irv McManus. He's a pastor in Southern California. And he tells a story of when he sent his son Aaron to a church camp. And his son was incredibly young and he was a little bit nervous to send his son to church camp because he didn't grow up going to church. And when he went to camp, they would always tell these ghost stories. And he would come home really scared because he was hearing all these ghost stories. But he felt secure because he was sending his son to a Christian camp. And so he knew that they didn't believe in ghosts. And so he knew they wouldn't hear any ghost stories. So he sends his son away for camp. And when his son comes back, he was really young of age. His son was petrified and his son was scared. And his son said, Daddy, at camp, they didn't tell ghost stories, they told demon stories and devil stories. And his young son couldn't go to sleep his first night back home. And he's scared and he's petrified. And he says, Dad, would you just pray over me? Would you just pray that I would be safe? And his dad saw it as an opportunity to teach his son because sometimes life isn't safe. And so he says to his son, Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. I will pray that God will make you dangerous. So dangerous that demons will flee when you enter the room. His son Aaron replied, all right, but Dad, would you pray that I would be really, really dangerous? How different would your life be if instead of being afraid of an adventure, you said, God, I know you got this. God, we're going on vacation and I would like us to be safe. But if we get stuck in traffic, that's just a chance for us to experience your greatness. If we get lost, that's just an adventure. It might become the story that we tell our grandkids. And if a tire gets flat, then it just might be an adventure. It's something that we can talk about. It's going to actually make this trip exciting. So God, we do want safety, but ultimately, God, would you just make us dangerous? Would you make us live lives where we tell stories? The stories that you tell or when accidents happen, when the unexpected happens, the movies that we love are not predictable movies where we can say this is going to happen at the end. It's when it catches us off guard. And it's in moments of uncertainty that God wants to develop you so that you're living an amazing story. But you got to embrace the uncertainty. You've got to embrace the difficulties of life. And you've got to know that even in the midst of suffering, God's presence is with you. Here's an application for today. This is what you can do with this. If God spoke to you through this talk, here's your application. Pray, God, make me dangerous. How different would your life be if instead of saying, God, would you just give me a safe job? Would you give me a safe family? Would you help me just to play it safe? How different would your life be if you prayed this prayer? God, make me dangerous. No matter what you bring my way, God, would you help me to bust through that door? Make me dangerous. I want to pray for us. God, thank you so much for this day and for your love for us. And thank you, God, that you are God that calls us to adventure. God, it's so easy for us to make you boring, and you're not boring. You're exciting. And God, I just ask that you would just capture our hearts. For some of us, God, it's been a long time since we've felt the love of you. It's been so long we've forgotten what it's like to be madly in love with you. And God, right now, I just ask you to restore to us the joy of our salvation. That God, we would be a people that is passionate about you. And God, we would fall madly in love with you, that our prayer time would not be mundane, but it would be dangerous. And God, would you just give us relationships where we can pour out your love, the love that you're pouring into us, God. Would you just give us adventures? Would you give us stories so that when we end our lives, there are no boring funerals, but they're just story after story of how you've used us to do impossible things because your Holy Spirit is so big and so great. God, would you just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine? Would you help us in our moments of weakness? We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.